Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, can we go to the MGM National Harbor? It's time again for, oh, he's at home today, styling in the Sharp Castle. Your boy, the mad scientist, Warren Sharp, he can't even go to the casino anymore. Too many women screaming, trying to steal the Sports Grid sign to get him to autograph it. People bothering him for pictures. It's just constant hassle. People just, they interfere with his genius and his skinny and stats and analytics and inside information and all of this distraction. He's decided to stay at the castle today to grace us with his brilliance. Always good to see you, Warren. Let's talk about the Vikings and Eagles tonight at the Dangerous Link in Philadelphia.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. No, I'm home today. We'll be back to the MGM next week for sure. But this game tonight is going to be quite exciting. I actually have a bet on this game. I like the over 24 in the first half. Let's just get that out right in the open. The Philadelphia Eagles last week went up to New England, Scott, in the rain and played at the slowest pace of any team in the NFL in the first half and had the fourth highest run rate of any team in the NFL. Both of those things were completely opposite of how this team operated just 1 year ago, where they were one of the fastest teams in the first half and they had one of the highest pass rates of any offense in the NFL in the first half. I do not think that that is the style of offense that this team is looking to morph into. I think this is a game plan that they had to adapt to in the rain, and as a result of the way that the defense of the New England Patriots were playing them. I think in this game here against the Minnesota Vikings, the Vikings sent a ton of pressure last week, 47% blitz rate against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but they only hit home at one of the lowest rates of any pass rush in the NFL. They had so many blitzes that were coming that never actually hit home. And that was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line and Baker Mayfield, which, Scott, we talked about this before. Baker Mayfield behind this Tampa Bay offensive line could be a problem for Tampa Bay. And yet even they were able to deal with this pass rush of the Minnesota Vikings and not allow the blitzes to hit home. The Eagles have a much better offensive line. They're playing at home, so the Vikings don't have that home field advantage with all the crowd noise to allow their defensive linemen to get off the ball quickly and try to get pressure easily. I just think that they are not going to be able to get that pressure once again, and that's going to provide an added upside for Jalen Hurts and his passing attack. They're going to need to utilize that passing attack, and they're going to need to keep Hurts clean because his splits with pressure versus without pressure are night and day. When he's clean, he is great. When he's pressured, he is not. And they also don't have that support of the run game. We talked about earlier, they're not going to probably run the ball at the rate that they did in week one. Well, they also are down their number one running back. So I think that's going to cause them to pass the football a little bit more here. I think DeAndre Swift going over his receiving yards, he could be on the field more and used as a back out of the backfield a little bit more frequently. Dallas Goedert didn't have any catches last week. I think he might get a little bit more attention from the Eagles passing attack this week. And then you look at the other side of the ball with Kirk Cousins. It's easy pickings here in the secondary if he can just get the ball out of his hands. He's down his starting center. I'm not quite sure about his tackle, but if he can get the ball out of his hands, this team passed the ball at the number two highest rate last week. Scott, 75% of their dropbacks were pass attempts. this Eagles secondary is massively beat up. To enter this season, they were already down two starting safeties plus their number one coverage linebacker. Those guys left via free agency. Then in week one, they lost a starting cornerback, a starting safety, and their starting Mike linebacker, N'Kobe Dean, who calls signals for them. I mean, this secondary could get attacked by an upgraded Minnesota Vikings passing attack led by TJ Hockenson and Justin Jefferson. I think TJ Hockenson over 4.5 receptions. We'll talk about that more later. But I just think that everything's lining up here for there to be passing attempts in this game. The weather's perfect. And I think that we're going to see a little bit more scoring after all the unders that we saw just last week.
We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 159 and Sports Byline and their radio affiliates. Warren Sharp with us. From sharpfootballanalysis.com and at sharpfootball on social media, on X, etc. Warren, I want to ask you, like, the Eagles won the game at Gillette. People acted like they looked bad, they looked terrible, they were up 16-0, didn't get to. I look at it differently. I was like, they won the game. It was a tough game against a physical, violent defense. Belichick tried to punch him in the mouth. They stood up to him. They fought their way back. Jones threw the ball all over the field. They made it a game. It is what it is. But they got out of there with the W, which is all that matters in the NFL, on the road in particular.
You're right. And I could tell you for certain that that's the main point of importance for the Philadelphia Eagles. They are a team that wants to be humming after week 6, 7, 8 of the season. Work out all the kinks early. And there are going to be kinks to work out because they have a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator. I can tell you the offensive coordinator came under fire after this game in some of the press conferences where the reporters were asking him, why were you running these draws on third down? Are you giving up? Why weren't you pushing the ball down the field a little bit more frequently to A.J. Brown earlier on in the game? So he was under some criticism from the media already as to why they were playing a little bit more conservative. But the biggest thing is that they walked away from Gillette with the W in harsh weather conditions against a Bill Belichick coached defense. I already believed, though, Scott, that the defense was going to be a step down this season from what they were last year. Everybody knows that they, you know, drafted guys and they have some new players and it was all looking good, but they were going to miss some guys in the secondary. And this defense may end up causing them problems in the future. We saw how efficiently Mac Jones, even in the rain, with like this new offensive coordinator himself, and limited options at wide receiver, was able to move the ball down the field, mainly utilizing the tight end to do so. So I do have questions. I don't know if the Minnesota Vikings offensive line and Kirk Cousins, all this narrative about can Kirk Cousins play a game after 6 p.m.? Will he shrivel up because he is scared of performing in the primetime stage? So these types of things might play against the Vikings offense to some extent, but there's no doubt about it that the Eagles, though happy with the win, have a lot to clean up, and they didn't have a lot of time to do so, especially with these injuries on the defensive side of the ball.
Real quick, do you think the back door's always open for the Vikings when you have talent like Hockenson and Jefferson? I won't deny Cousins can rip it and throw the ball. I just think they're dangerous for like a big spread based on the ability of his receivers to come up big.
You're absolutely right. The Minnesota Vikings are great. They did that last year. That's how they won so many of their games. They snuck in that back door. They scored late. This is a team that certainly can get it done, especially with the pass rate they have. It's a perfect game state for them to try to score points late in this one if they need to.
You know what we're going to do here with Warren Sharp. We're going to hit every game, everywhere, like you read about, styling on the grid on a Thursday per usual.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, this story keeps getting better by the minute. Now, my sources down at the MGM National Harbor told me, I called a guy just a minute ago, and he said there was like 50,000 women trying to get in to see Warren do the Sports Grid segment with Pharrell, and that they were so overwhelmed, the security, that they literally closed the casino. They closed the casino. They had to rush Warren out a back door into a limo, back to his house. And at the last second, he was able to get on the air with us today. That's what's happened. He's become so enormous, like Elvis, that he can't even go to the BetMGM Sportsbook anymore. They're going to have to figure it out for next week. They're going to have to bring in like the FBI or something, because if my man can't do a show without getting panties, they're throwing bras, people throwing drinks, the women are screaming. It's like, I mean, it's like NSYNC all over again. It's crazy. My man Warren has gotten so popular, they had to shovel him out and bring him back to his house to do the show today. It really is an unbelievable story. And that's what my sources are telling me. So just believe Uncle Futrelli. I know everything. All right. I have to say, as we talk about the Chargers, that they are naked defensively.
Yeah, the Chargers naked defensively. Well, look, the Chargers are going to go on the road in Tennessee. And this is a team that absolutely got eviscerated through the air just 1 week ago by Tua. And the Chargers might be down Bosa. We're not sure yet. They might be down Austin Eckler. And a lot of people are talking about the fact that this is a team that's going to come out and have a lot of success. If you look at what they did last week against the Dolphins, right? We were hoping that they were going to be forcing the ball down the field a little bit more, throwing the football deeper. But this team still continued to attack extremely shallow, and they actually turned to the run game so much. Last week, they ranked number one in EPA per rush and success rate, yards per carry. The running backs were averaging 6.5 yards per carry. That is not going to happen in Tennessee this week. Tennessee's run defense is one of the most elite units in the NFL. Tennessee's run defense is going to snuff out the run of the Chargers. That's going to make the Chargers a little bit more one-dimensional. Now, Derek Carr had success throwing the ball over the top of this secondary. The Titans secondary is not very good. As you know, Scott, we talked about this last week. That was the main concern when we backed the Tennessee Titans last week, is Derek Carr over the top to Rashid Shaheed and to Chris Olave. It's one of the reasons I took the over on Olave's receiving yards last week, but I still thought that that game was going to stay tight. I do not see the downfield threat with the speed on this Chargers team like the Raiders had last week, nor do I see a quarterback who constantly and consistently wants to push the ball down the field like Derek Carr does. And as a result, I just don't see an avenue where, unless Justin Herbert is elite throwing underneath, which that's the one spot of the pass defense that the Titans are good defending, I don't see that they're going to have a ton of success offensively here and explode to dump too many points for the Titans to stay in this game. As a result, I kind of lean to the Titans here, Scott, catching those 3 points at home. I think it's a great spot for them. And we have seen a lot of teams come into Tennessee in the past, some elite AFC teams as well as some NFC teams, and try to go with a pass-first approach, attack the weakness of this Titans team. We know we can't run on them. Let's just throw the ball down the field on them. Teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, the Jacksonville Jaguars, we're talking about some of the most elite quarterbacks in the NFL, just like Justin Herbert. Those teams all were favored and lost outright in Tennessee with that style of approach, trying to pass the ball 67% or more on early downs in the first half of the game. So just because you might want to come in with a pass-first approach and try to attack the weakness does not necessarily mean that you're going to have success. I have to see it to believe it that this Chargers run defense is fully buttoned up. It was a tough task last week for the Tennessee Titans to go on the road and run successfully against the Saints' tough run front. I think that they're going to have more success at home running the football, giving Ryan Tannehill some more breathers. And I think Tannehill can't possibly play as worse as he did last week. That was embarrassing. I think he plays a little bit better at home. I think the Titans get the cover here.
Wow. And that's fascinating. Do you, I mean, this would be a huge problem and disappointment for the Chargers if they start 0-2. The way they got beat by Miami and then to go on the road and lose this game, I mean, they already are calling for Brandon Staley's head. It's only going to get worse for him if they lose this game.
Yeah, and look, this is not like this is the massive sharp side. There are groups battling over this game. There are guys that are hitting the Chargers, driving that line a little bit higher. But as soon as it gets high enough, guys are coming back on the other side saying thank you very much and taking the Tennessee Titans. So there's a difference in opinion here. And some guys really do like the Chargers to come in here. They don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. They don't believe in the receiving options that the Tennessee Titans have. And they don't believe they're going to be able to keep pace. And they think that the Chargers are going to have success throwing the ball down the field against this Titans defense. And they very well might be right. But in order to do that, the Chargers are going to have to attack far deeper than they did last season or week one. And they're also going to have to stray from the run, which they relied upon a lot last week for tremendous success. If they do those things, that's their path to winning this game on the road, Scott, which they're expected to do because they're favored here. But I just am not so certain that we're going to see that type of performance. I think this defense comes to play from Mike Vrabel's team, especially up front, to try to slow down and disrupt this Chargers passing attack after they have some semblance of success stopping the run game.
So we saw what the Packers did to the Bears. They destroyed them. Can they take that act on the road and do the same thing in Atlanta against the Falcons, who looked pretty good in week one themselves?
They're going to have success pressuring Desmond Ridder. They are really good with their front seven. They didn't have to blitz a lot, but they still got pressure. Now, the Bears' offensive line is a disaster, so that's one element of it. And the Falcons' offensive line is substantially better. But this game, my concern is that I think that the Falcons are going to take the same tact that they did last week, which is play conservatively, not to lose this game early. Here's some stats. They were the number one slowest paced team in the NFL, were the Atlanta Falcons offense in the first half. They were the number nine most run heavy team. When they did throw the ball, they averaged in the first half 0.2 yards per pass attempt. That was obviously the lowest in the NFL in terms of their air yards, their depth of throwing the football. And 60% of their passes were behind the line of scrimmage, which was the most in the NFL. So they tried playing not to lose, don't have Desmond Ridder make any big mistakes, and eventually will pull away late. Well, now they're going up against a young, inexperienced quarterback once again in Jordan Love. Jordan Love's stats last week are a little bit deceptive. I like the Packers. I was on the Packers last week, but it's not like Jordan Love had this breakthrough game. Early on, the Packers were very terrible offensively. Think about this. In the first half last week, the Packers had 20 plays on first or second down. They gained one first down on those 20 plays. One. They had to be elite on third down, and that's going to be difficult to do on the road against the better defense of the Atlanta Falcons. What is this leading to? I think it leads to a slightly close and lower scoring game. I thought the Falcons might have made some sense on a teaser, but I like the under here. You could get 40.5 right now on the full game. I preferred the first half to start a little bit more slowly. And as a result, I took the under in the first half. The line is down now to 19.5. I don't know that it has the same level of value. I might steer clear of it at that point, look more towards the full game at slightly lower unit size there. But I think this game is a little bit of a rock fight to start off, especially with some of the injuries to the Green Bay Packers' number one running back. They're starting wide receiver number one. He's still out. I just think it's a little bit slower.
Well, what that all spells to me is that the Bears suck. So all I know is, they're still awful as far as I'm concerned. When we come back, we're going to hit the Pats-Dolphins game, this one at Gillette on Sunday night. I thought Miami's offense looked ferocious out in Los Angeles at SoFi. And then we're going to hit Rams, Niners, Texans, Colts. He's got some props for you, Warren Sharp style. And then later, we're going to hit every other game as well, like we do every Thursday, hanging out with Warren Sharp on Coast to Coast. Don't go anywhere. This is where you get the inside skinny, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
Real quick, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Get the app on iOS or Android on Play Store. You're going to love it. You can follow Warren Sharp on there. Get all of his clips. You get everything, the radio side, the TV side, all the highlights, videos, stories, stats, odds, in-game odds. The Sports Grid app, it's second to none. Go to sportsgrid.com/watch to see all the platforms we're on. And don't forget about BetMGM's first bet offer. $1,500 first bet offer is the best thing in sports. Use the bonus code SG1500. How do you get it? Download the app on iOS or Android, or go to BetMGM.com. Sign up, deposit at least 10 into your account. Place first wager. Receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. If the bet loses, your bonus bets will be available once the initial wager is settled. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. And I will tell you, before we get into the Pats Dolphins, that Warren just did say to me in the break, cover your mouth when you sneeze and cough in my direction. And I said, I got you. Sorry about that. He has the same problem as I do. These little snot-nosed kids bring home all of their school diseases to the house, and it's a problem. And I'm thinking about getting rid of all of them, the children, selling them to Russians. My bosses are telling me in my ear right now, move on. I don't know what that means. All right, Pats, Dolphins, Warren, I got to tell you, that Dolphins offense is the fastest thing on earth. I think Tua looks fantastic. No one can stop him and Reek, let alone Waddle. And their defense is, you know, relatively tough, too. I kind of like that Dolphins team. I always thought that the Dolphins were going to be the team that gave the Bills the problems in the East. It wasn't the Jets that I was buying. But I think that Jets defense is sickening.
Yeah, the Jets defense is sickening for sure. That's going to be a really great game if you like defense to watch the Cowboys and the Jets. But speaking of the Dolphins going up to Foxborough, this game is going to be fascinating because I don't believe that we're going to need to see the Patriots come out with such a pass-heavy approach to start the game. Certainly, Mac Jones felt comfortable enough in that in catch-up mode, primarily using Hunter Henry, try to move the ball down the field to keep the game close against the Philadelphia Eagles. He did a great job in that regard, but I think they're going to have more success on the ground here. This Miami Dolphins defense, when we were talking about the Chargers game earlier against the Titans, we mentioned how this Chargers team just gave up so many yards on the ground the Miami Dolphins gave up so many yards on the ground to the Chargers. The Chargers rushing attack ranked number one in virtually every single efficiency metric. That is music to the ears of Bill Belichick and Bill O'Brien, the new offense coordinator. I think they're going to come out and have some success running the football. You talk about what to do about this Dolphins offense and how do you stop them? Well, they can't do any scoring if they're on the bench. And I think the Patriots are going to come out here with a strategy that's going to move the ball efficiently down the field and try to put up points. I never believe in trying to conserve clock and be a ball control offense just for the sake of being that if it's going to make you less efficient elsewhere. But even if pass first team like the Chargers decided in the second half, what the hell, let's just run the football more here because we're having a lot more success doing that. And so I think the Patriots are going to come out and have some success doing that. It's going to be interesting to see if there's any adjustments that Bill Belichick can make after 1 week of watching Tua and this new Mike McDaniel offense with all the short motions that they started utilizing this season that they weren't utilizing last year. Does he have an answer for that to try to slow down Tyreek Hill off those motions? But these two teams, they didn't really, like last year's games, you kind of got to throw out. The second meeting last year, Tua wasn't available. The first meeting, it was Tua's very first game of the entire season with Mike McDaniel. It was week one. It was also the first game with Mac Jones and Matt Patricia, the old offense coordinator for the Patriots, who was obviously terrible. I think this game's going to be a lot more interesting, a lot more competitive. I think the Patriots could be in this game, and I do expect to see a lot more back and forth here. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
So the Niners and Rams, the one thing I know for certain is that Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay.
He does. It's been fun to watch if you like Kyle Shanahan because he's going up against – think about it, like these guys are best friends, right? Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and if you continually own your best friend in something, like you want to play those games with that guy because it's just fun to beat your buddy, you know? And so that's what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do here with Sean McVay frequently. It's been amazing the success that this 49ers offense has had with Brock Purdy. They continue to somehow get to 30 plus points in seemingly every single game, regardless of who they're going up against. And The one thing that the Rams did last week that I do not expect to see this week is the defense performance in the second half, locking down the Seattle Seahawks. That was a total mirage, in my opinion. If you look just at the first half last week, the Seattle Seahawks offense ranked number 3 in overall success rate and number 1 in passing efficiency. They had 4 drives, and all 4 of those drives got all the way down inside of the Rams' 25-yard line. What happened in the second half was they had 5 drives, and they gained no more than 10 yards on any one of those drives. How did they change night and day? Was because they lost both their starting tackles. And from that point onward, this Rams defense looked elite because the Seahawks offense was the least efficient in the NFL. They couldn't get anything accomplished. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. They had nothing. That's not going to be the case here. I think that the Rams defense is going to get more exposed like it was in the first half against the Seahawks, all 4 quarters against this San Francisco 49ers offense. And then on the other side of the ball, like we talked about owning the Rams. Well, the problem is Matthew Stafford does not have a lot of success against these guys. 7 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in his matchups against the 49ers. They lock him down. They don't allow the passing game to have success. And then last week, what did the run game do for the Rams? Nothing. They averaged 2.2 yards per carry, which was 2nd worst in the NFL. That was against the Seattle Seahawks run defense that was not elite last year. It was like bottom 5 last season. Now they're going up against one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Stafford's not going to have support from a ground game. He's going to have to get it done through the air. I think he's going to struggle to do that. I expect the 49ers to have success against this defense. I think they'd do a good job here. Great so teaser leg, in my opinion, is the 49ers.
Fair enough. Texans, Colts at Lucas Oil. This is a game I don't want to touch. Sorry. I think both of them. Look, I thought the Colts, I'll give them this. They were up 21-17 against the Jags, and they were playing out of their minds, and they were lit. They were jacked up, fired up, and they had it going. And then, you know, the Jags got it done late with the late score, and they ended up winning 31-21 or whatever, and they covered the 3.5. I laid 4.5 originally on that game, but the Colts found a way to lose. The Texans got smoked. These are 2 bad teams, in my opinion. I don't trust betting it.
Well, I think that's fair, but I do think there's an opportunity here to take the undervalued home team off of the bigger loss last week, potentially a team that didn't look as good, wasn't as competitive in the game. But the reality is this. Think of how difficult it is to go on the road against Baltimore, an aggressive defense in the rain, when you're a young rookie quarterback. It's not easy. And yet C.J. Stroud was asked to drop back over 50 times, and he's the first quarterback in NFL history to drop back over 45 times and not throw a single interception. He took care of the football from a passing perspective, did not turn it over, and not that this team was competitive in the game, but one of the other things that I think is going to be a factor in this one is they shut down the Ravens' rushing attack. Held the Ravens' running backs to, I think, like 2.6 yards per carry. And even if you factor in Lamar Jackson's rushing ability, they were still down sub 4 yards per carry. That is going to be a benefit for this Texans. Now that they're going up against a rushing quarterback like Anthony Richardson. Now it's Anthony Richardson's turn to go on the road. He played at home last week like C.J. Stroud did on the road. C.J. goes home. Anthony goes on the road. I think C.J. is going to have some success. I do not think that this Colts defense is overly impressive. I think the Texans are going to have more success running the football. And think about this, Scott. Last week, the Indianapolis Colts had 14 offensive possessions. You know how many of those 14 actually gained more than 10 yards? Only four out of 14 gained more than 10 yards. It was a very hit or miss team. I think they're going to struggle to run the ball. It's all going to be on Anthony Richardson's shoulders. I like the Texans in a teaser when they were catching points. Now that the line is, I think, close to a pick 'em or Texans -1, I just think the Texans win this game.
There you have it. I want to know, you have a prop on Hockenson in this game tonight. He comes up big with all that money they gave him. I'm probably feeling this one. Where are you going with Hockenson in this game tonight in Philly?
The problem is with this one, Scott, everybody is reading from the same sheet of music here. It's no surprise. I bet Hockenson last week over his receptions, and that cashed with ease. I also think he goes over his receptions here. Now, you have to lay a ton of juice. I want to say it's like minus 170, minus 175. I don't know the exact number right now. Over 4.5 receptions, but he caught 8 of 9 targets last week. Guess how many targets the Eagles allowed last week. They allowed the Patriots tight ends to also catch 8 of 9 targets last week, plus a touchdown. They're down N'Kobe Dean. They're down a starting safety. I just think Kirk Cousins is going to have to pass the ball. A lot of underneath attempts potentially due to pressure. Some of those are going to go to Hockenson. I think he catches at least 5 passes here tonight.
Yeah. We had him earlier before you came on having a touchdown catch. And we got Jefferson having a touchdown catch. And I won't be surprised if Jefferson has over in his receptions as well. Even though I still like Philly, this is who Cousins throws the ball to. So it is what it is. When we come back with Warren Sharp, we're going to start off with the Raiders at the Bills. We'll see what he thought of Josh Allen's performance in New York against the Jets. It was awful. There's no other way to describe it. And we'll get into every other game. Baltimore, Cincy. How about Chicago at Tampa? Is Baker's shoulder all right? And the G-Men, after their lousy performance against the Cowboys, how will they do in Sona?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Honestly, if you're not following at Sharp Football and SharpFootballAnalysis.com, there's got to be something wrong with you. I mean, honestly, like, the skinny that this guy gives you is second to none. And if you're not doing these things, check yourself, son. Honestly, I mean, there's got to be a problem. All right, the Raiders are in Buffalo. I think that Josh Allen had the worst game of his life against the Jets. I mean, I thought it was anemic. And he's got to recover this week or people are going to start tripping on him.
Yeah, look, this Buffalo Bills team is in some semblance of transition. You know, they lost Brian Daboll prior to last season. Now they lost their defensive coordinator. Their head coach is taking over defensive responsibilities. They end up blowing the game to Zach Wilson. They could have probably just won that game if they just took a low variance approach once Aaron Rodgers went out and just said, let's not turn the ball over. Let's just be efficient. Let's control this thing. Make Zach Wilson make the mistake. Instead, they voluntarily went out and just made mistake after mistake and allowed the Jets to stay in that game and ultimately win it in overtime. This obviously must change, and it must change in a few days as they play at home against the Raiders, who had a surprising win as an underdog last week and are looking to pull another upset on the road here, catching 8.5 points. Now, this line was a little bit higher earlier today. Some Raiders money entered the market, dropped it back down again. Now the Bills are once again in a teaser window if you want to tease them with right underneath of a field goal by 6 points. But I think the Buffalo Bills here are needing to stomp out this Raiders team early in this game and leave no room for questions. They've got to come out here and establish and force Jimmy G into becoming one-dimensional. Jacobs did not have a lot of success running the football last year. Jimmy G had the highest completion rate over expectation of any quarterback. They weren't throwing the ball deep down the field to Davante Adams. He had a substantially lower ADOT, much fewer passes. Was he thrown deeper down the field? He was running a lot more intermediate routes, and he had success on those. But they might be without Jacoby Myers here. Will remain to be seen. I think he's in the concussion protocol right now. I think this is a tough game. I'm certainly not laying it with the Buffalo Bills, but I would absolutely expect them to get the job done, and they might be an interesting look on the teaser line.
I mean, you know, when first time you saw it at 9.5, what did you think? Did you think that the Bills would cover that number initially when you saw it, and now you've seen it move? Did it change your mind at all and think maybe the Raiders will make this a game? Garoppolo, I think, handles – at the very least, knowing how to get Adams the ball And I thought he slung it pretty nicely last week when they won. Can they hang around in this game?
Yeah, I think when I saw that line drop down, I kind of expected it. I was not anticipating additional money coming in on the Bills after what happened last week. I did not expect this thing to get up to double digits. So it's not surprising that some guys are taking the Raiders plus the points. I think they are in a decent enough position here to go on the road. But when Buffalo is clicking, when they are clicking, Scott, it's hard to keep their point totals in check. And therefore, this thing would have to become a shootout for the Raiders to cover this point spread. So it's going to be imperative that the Raiders' defense is what shows up, particularly in the secondary, to slow this team down. The Buffalo Bills used a ton of 12 personnel. They came out, I think they led the NFL in rate of 12 personnel after being the league bottom cellar dwellers in 12 personnel last year. So there's some moving pieces that they're trying to utilize a little bit more with Dalton Kincaid on the field a ton. I think the Buffalo Bills are in a good spot to circle the wagons, as they say, and to get this win at home. But I definitely don't think it's going to be easy.
We were talking earlier on the show with Adam Kaplan about Baltimore's injuries going into this game in Cincinnati. I mean, their injury list is lengthy.
Yeah, their injury list is terrible, and it's on both sides of the ball. They're down a couple of offensive linemen. They're down their starting running back. They could not run the football last week against the Houston Texans, as I was mentioning previously. They are down multiple guys in their secondary. And since 2021, the Bengals are 4-1 against the spread straight up against the Ravens. They're 3-2 against the spread. No team came out with more expectations but failed to exceed them, I think, like the Cincinnati Bengals, just getting destroyed last week and Joe Burrow looking absolutely miserable. This offense did not look competent. They couldn't complete passes. They weren't getting anything done on the ground. They were getting gouged for like 10 yards at a time. I think they allowed the highest rate of explosive runs, did their run defense. It was not pretty whatsoever last week. But I'm willing to give them a little bit of a pass, in my opinion. It was raining. Joe Burrow didn't feel totally confident. And for whatever reason, when the Cleveland Browns play play this team, the Cleveland Browns, they're not the elves. They become like the gremlins or something, and they destroy this Cincinnati Bengals team. But when the Cleveland Browns go play other teams, it's not the same type of gremlin behavior. I absolutely think that the Cincinnati Bengals get things back on track here. You have to lay a little bit of juice to lay the 3, but that's probably the way that I would look. I think they're going to be able to protect Joe Burrow better in this game. He's going to have some success throwing the ball. Now, Mike McDonald of the Baltimore Ravens has always kept Joe Burrow's yardage per yardage attempts in check. He does not normally have big passing days, 6.2, 6.5, and 5.1 yards per pass attempt with only 3 total touchdowns against Mike McDonald's teams. But this defense of Lou Anarumo typically puts the clamps on the passing attack of the Baltimore Ravens, makes him a little bit more one-dimensional. Lamar Jackson has some success on the ground. It'll probably be on his shoulders to do that again this week, trying to get 40, 50, 60 yards on the ground potentially. But I think the run game is stifled from the running backs. I think Lamar Jackson is going to be harassed more, and I think that the Bengals are going to walk away with the win.
So if Seattle couldn't handle the Rams, how the hell are they going to handle Detroit?
Yeah, Detroit was impressive in that opener. They surprised a lot of people. Obviously, a lot of people probably weren't expecting Kadarius Toney to come out with like gloves, you know, snow gloves on his hands and being able to catch a football. But that defense was great against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they might be able to have some success at home with that crowd noise really ramped up, got that first win of the season against this Seahawks team that's down both of their starting tackles. They're going to be able to get some pressure there. They're also going to have some success working the ball to the middle of the field. And Jared Goff had a ton of success. These two teams met last year. I want to say the score was like 45-42 or something along those lines. High-scoring affair from both teams. This Lions defense is much improved over that unit that they trotted out last year. So I do not expect the Seahawks to have that type of a point total. But also what's interesting is the Lions had a lot of success despite not even playing Amon-Ra St. Brown because he was injured in that game. So I think that the Lions are going to have some success here. That being said, I'm not so willing just to completely lay the points with the Detroit Lions in this spot. I've got no dog in this fight right now. I think it is a good spot for the Lions, but you know, asking them to cover this much, I just want to see their defense one more time kind of prove it. We know that the Chiefs, without Travis Kelce last week, were a little bit lost. I mean, they did not realize they wouldn't have Travis Kelce until a couple days before the game, and he's such a focal point in that offense. I think the Seahawks are going to try to come up with a better strategy here down their two tackles for this game, but look for that pass rush to really get after Geno Smith and for him to be flushed out. And I expect Geno is probably going to be running for his life a little bit. I'm going to be interested to see what his rushing yardage prop is because he might get flushed out of the pocket and need to convert some things on the ground with his legs.
All right, Chicago, Tampa Bay.
Well, I mean, if you watch the QB School Twitter account, you saw all you needed to see about the Chicago Bears offense. I mean, they completely ridiculed every aspect of this Chicago Bears team, from the play calls in terms of the timing of them, to the play designs, to the offensive line's pass protection, to the quarterback's execution, to the quarterback's pre-snap processing, to the receiver's route running, to the tight end's blocking. Like, everything was terrible last week. And yet the Chicago Bears were still in that game for a while until the Packers finally pulled away thanks to some turnovers. Certainly the Chicago Bears have been getting some sharp money, dropped that line south of 3 points on the road in Tampa. Tampa pulled off that upset in Minnesota. Probably shouldn't have won that game. The Vikings had a couple of turnovers deep inside of the Buccaneers' territory. But the Bucs defense, you know, everybody's overlooked the Bucs to some extent, myself included this year. Baker's not going to be nearly as good as Tom Brady. He's going to be under a ton of pressure. You know, this defense still has some quality players. They still have some ability to slow down a run game and to get a little bit of pressure there. So, I mean, this is going to be interesting to see how Justin Fields performs. Just know this, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sent a lot of pressure last week. And that is not necessarily the way that you try to slow down Justin Fields. The way that the Packers had a lot of success slowing down Fields is to try to make him get through the progressions and then get some natural pressure with your defensive front against this bad offensive line of the Chicago Bears, because Justin Fields is slow to diagnose things and he's not throwing the ball down the field as much as he should when a guy's technically NFL open. And as a result, you know, if the Bucs send pressure and Justin Fields can escape somebody, he might have some opportunities to hit a few splash plays down the field.
Kansas City has to win this game in Jacksonville, don't they?
Yeah, Kansas City does. It'd be somewhat embarrassing if they do start off the season 0-2. This is not a spot I'd be looking to fade Andy Reid, although I'm not interested in laying more than 3 points here, so I'm going to see where the line goes from here. Andy Reid is going to help design something. Maybe Travis Kelce's able to go in this one, and that would solve some of their problems. But I am backing Andy Reid when I can, in a spot where he's not expected to cover the spread by a large margin. Usually these are great spots for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this Jacksonville Jaguars team, I mean, yes, they went on the road. Yes, they emerged with the win. That was a far closer game than the final score indicated, naturally. Yeah, I don't really look at their defense really stifling the Colts offense as something that's going to be repeatable against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to have some success moving the football here against these guys, even if Kadarius Toney is dropping a pass or two. I look for the Chiefs to get back on track pretty quickly.
So how do you think the Jets will do against Dallas?
I think it's the us against the world mentality. I think it's great for their locker room. Nobody believes in us now that we lost Aaron Rodgers. This defense is going to come out and really test Dak Prescott. They're going to get pressure on Dak. They're going to force Dak. Dak's been really good under pressure. Dak's been really good against the blitz. Like, some people overlook some of the qualities that Dak Prescott brings to the table because he hasn't been able to like do as much as maybe we were hoping that the Dallas Cowboys might be able to do. But I think this Jets team, like, there's no way I'm betting against the Jets in this one. To me, at this number, it's Jets or pass. I have not bet it yet, but I think this game's going to be capable of being close. I think Breece Hall is just an absolute freak, and if they give him more carries, they really reduce his workload last week. Cook is not the answer. It's Breece Hall. We want more Breece Hall in New York, and I think we're going to see that down in Dallas this week. gross, low-scoring, tightly contested game that neither coach really wants to lose. I think it's going to be close and lower scoring, and I think the Jets might have a shot at covering it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that and have been on the Jets since this show started today. The Giants better win in Arizona, and Denver better win at home against Washington, or they're both going to start feeling the heat. We'll come back and talk about the Monday night doubleheader.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Along with Warren Sharp on a Thursday on Coast to Coast, the doubleheader Monday night, New Orleans and Carolina, and the Steelers host the Browns. And I wasn't blown away by the Saints' performance, to be honest with you. And the Steelers, I wasn't surprised at all that the Niners beat their ass. I bet the Niners minus two. What do you think is going to happen in these two games in Charlotte and in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, the Giants, interesting game here. Sorry, you want to talk about which one first?
New Orleans, Carolina, and the Browns, Steelers, okay. The doubleheader Monday night.
Yeah, so the Saints, I was not impressed by their performance either, because that is the weakness of the Tennessee Titans. Attacking them with the deep ball absolutely is going to have some success. And so that's not necessarily going to be the case, although J.C. Horn is going to be out this week for the Carolina Panthers here. This is a game I have not bet yet. It's hard to want to find value in laying the points with the Saints. I did not like the way that the Carolina Panthers offense looked. It wasn't until the second half when the Atlanta Falcons defense made some adjustments and started sending a little bit more pressure and playing more man coverage on third down specifically against the young and experienced Bryce Young. And that's what caused him a world of problems. I think the Saints are going to cause more problems all game long. And then in the nightcap, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to have too much success here running the football without Cam Hayward in the middle, clogging things up for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had a lot of success last week. I think that carries over. I'm worried about their defense getting pressure on Kenny Pickett. This Pittsburgh Steelers offense did not look the same as it did in the preseason. I guess that was a tease, Scott, unfortunately for us, but I don't have a lot of confidence in their offensive coordinator to get right in this spot. Their back's up against the wall. They've got to try to come up perform better. I haven't laid the points here with the Browns, but it's hard to want to take it with the Steelers either.
I think the Steelers bounce back. I think the Browns always give the Bengals problems, and the Steelers have always given the Browns problems. Pittsburgh starts 0-2. It's like season over. Warren, great stuff this week. Enjoy the game tonight and on Sunday. Thanks, buddy.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.